You know how it goes. There's some days where cruising down I-35 or 183, there's no traffic, just life is good, moving along quickly, things are going really smoothly. Perhaps I-35 is not the best example of that. Maybe more of 183 or 29. The car is running well. The sun's out. It's a day like yesterday as far as temperature goes. Just a perfect fall day. Kids are behaving well. Maybe the house is clean. You finished up the to-do list. You've just got it all taken care of, and everything is great. Now, there's some days, right? There are other days as well. Sarah and I know, have had a few moments like this. We've looked at each other and just thought, could it get any worse? No offense to Jeff, who works over at Lamb's, manages the store there, but you get a call that the car needs to be fixed, and it's going to be double the amount that you expected it to be. The kids aren't behaving well at all. The kitchen sink is full of dishes. They're about to name the mountain of dishes that are in the sink. Perhaps the health report, and a more serious note, the health report is bad. You were expecting a better, more favorable report from the doctors, but it was a bad report. You work, you parent, you invest in your marriage, but it seems like no matter what you do, it just doesn't go well. And perhaps, I know I've been here before, perhaps there are certain moments in your life where you just want to give up. Throw in the towel and say, it's not worth it anymore. You have to wonder about the Christians in Corinth. So, as we know, they had it tough, at least within their congregational life. They'd gotten all kinds of aspects of church life wrong. They were messing up the Lord's Supper. You read about that in 1 Corinthians 11. One of the brothers in the church was caught in this trap of sexual immorality. They had issues based on their leaders. Some were saying that they followed Apollos, others Paul, some Christ. There was division that was creeping in within that congregation. All kinds of issues. When it came to spiritual gifts, there were problems. Some apparently were flexing their spiritual muscles, saying that the gift that they had was in some way better than the gift that somebody else said. So they flex their muscles and say, I'm more spiritual. As far as my faith goes, or my love of God, or even God's love for me, I've got it more together. I am superior to you. And so there's this infighting that was taking place within this church. Not to mention the pressure that they would have faced from the outside. Here, this is a new movement, this Christianity, following this teacher and this Savior, this Messiah, and some within that society didn't get it. Why would you turn your back on the life that you once had to follow this man named Jesus? So there's pressure all over the place, and you have to imagine that the Christians in Corinth, some of them perhaps, wanted to give up. Throw the towel in and say, enough is enough. That's enough pressure. That's enough heartache. Life was easier before I became a Christian. And so, to these Christians that were facing pressure of all kinds, Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. In other words, your foundation is Jesus Christ. He's your rock. He is the one that holds you steady. Verse 2, by this gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. And so from there, Paul is going to talk about the gospel, the death of Jesus, the burial of Jesus, and the resurrection of Jesus. He reminds them of who they are and on whom they have built their foundation. It's a powerful chapter about the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And chapter 15 closes like this. Listen to the powerful words of the Apostle Paul in chapter 15, verses 50 through 57. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe himself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up by victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, Paul closes. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So no matter the pressure, and the Christians in Corinth were facing pressure, and we face pressure today. Perhaps we're on the verge of throwing in the towel, giving up, saying enough is enough. Paul says, you have victory through the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And then he concludes with these words. Like a coach that's challenging his team, or a military officer calling his troops to more, he says this in verse 50-58, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you, or some translations say, be immovable. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. The Christians in Corinth faced real struggles. We face real struggles. In the midst of all of it, Paul's words come to us in such a timely, thoughtful, even convicting way. You're victors. And you're victors not because of what you've done, but because of what Jesus Christ has done for you. And so stand firm. Let nothing move you. The work that you are doing, it's not in vain. We may not see immediate results. Perhaps that's what the Christians in Corinth are going to respond to Paul in this correspondence between the two of them. Paul, do you not see what's going on with us? And Paul says, keep working. You have victory through Jesus Christ. That is the foundation. That is what you are standing firm on. Your labor is not in vain. I've been so impressed with Shannon. He is one who continues to labor for the Lord, even with the condition that he has. And many of you know Shannon, have had opportunities to interact with him in a personal way. He continues to inspire. His faith is a contagious kind of faith. And so Shannon is going to share some words with us at this time.
I can't believe I'm nervous.
You'll be okay, Ken.
Yeah, I'm dead here. 11 years ago. And I told everybody I've been diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease, and I said then, this is my opportunity to preach my greatest sermon. That's true. The way we live our life will be long remembered after our sermons are forgotten. I have a deep love for this congregation. Many of you may know about 37 years ago, I came to Bible class out in the annex, and I met my wife for the first time, and she has been God's greatest blessing in my life. So that's what Leander means to me. I have gone a lot of places and preached a lot of sermons, been involved in a lot of lives, but it all started here. So I want to met with Rob and Clarence this week and told them I wanted to say a few words, and I want to be careful that my words are taken the right way. I want to speak out of love and encouragement, not as someone who thinks he is better or superior. Please don't think that, but I went to Sunset as a very young man, and that's where I learned to preach. And at Sunset, there is a tradition. When the preacher is going up to preach, all of the those that feel comfortable say, "Preach the word, brother." And you hear that all saying two things. I am prepared in my heart and in my mind to hear God's word. And I'm behind you and trust you to speak God's word. I wish that we could do something similar for our speakers. Imagine how difficult it must be. Think of the educational differences we've got from middle schoolers all the way up to people that have their master's and doctorate degrees. We have people that voted for Hillary and people that voted for Trump. We have every facet of personality. And Rob and Daryl and Whit, all of these guys are tasked with reaching across all those facets of personality. So, what is he going to say? And how is he going to say it? I was hoping it would be helpful if we could give him our assent by encouraging him to preach the word. Raise your hand if you would like to encourage Rob. Do you believe in him? Do you believe in what he's trying to do? Amen. And so Rob sees that, and that encourages him. I said I was only gonna speak for a minute, but here I go. The other thing is our leaders must know that we are behind them as well. You know, when Rob preached, I think last week, and he included Hebrews 12, that great cloud of witnesses that surround us. I couldn't help but think of the great cloud that surrounds us. I don't know how many of you can remember, but I remember Solon Whaley, Fannie Davis, the problem with naming names is you always forget some, but our elders and me, Debbie and Jill were deacons, but when BW and Joe were installed, they were our elders. And I can't tell you how many times Caroline would fix a smothered steak with all the fixings, and we ate with them. We would cast our cares upon them. We would poke Joe in the ribs to hear him squeal. And that's what I want for you guys. You know, about a year and a half ago, Vicki had surgery, and I had to go to the nursing home, and knew I should talk about that. Yeah. Makes me cry every time, but that was a very hard time, and I was shocked when Clarence showed up to visit, we think of water in the desert, Elijah watching and clans still comes to visit me regularly. And I'm so impressed with his character. An elder is one who not that we appoint. Read Ephesians 4. God gives us our elder, and they and their wives, they want so badly for us to succeed as a congregation, and the only way they can do that is if you let them. And again, I say this out of love, but I think it's important for us to get close to our elders. How many of you have had the elders visit your home? Show of hands. Yeah. I would hope every hand would go up. These men and women are the best people I know. They're not perfect. We don't want to go overboard. But spend time with them and you will be blessed, because when you draw near to them, you're changed. You can't help but be better. Their desire is for each one of us to come face to face with Jesus on a regular basis. When you come face to face with Jesus, it changes you. Look at Peter. Look at Mary. Look at all the people that came face to face with Jesus. We can only be better when we are in because others will see and be informed by you. There are so many that BW and Carlina, my heroes, and it's only because I know them and they have influenced me. And I know that if you give these guys a chance, they will influence you. Invite them into your home. Invite yourself to their home. Let's change for good. I challenged my kids this morning. I said, go meet an older person that you don't know, and that's how we begin. Not old person, but older. It's easy for a teenager to meet another teenager, but go meet somebody you don't know. There's just so much we can do, but I'm rambling. And I'm sorry. Let's try to encourage Rob with some form of encouragement when he steps up. Let's use some phrase or whatever you're comfortable with. Let's be vocal in our encouragement. And let's open ourselves to our elders. They love you. I know these men and women, and they love you. I hope I'm causing trouble. I want for them to be so busy they don't have enough time for all the outflow, because that's what we need. They are shepherds, and shepherds can only do their job if they have sheep. I hope my words have come in love and not as demands or taken the wrong way. I'm impressed with each and every one of you. I'll stop there by saying thank you for a lifetime of memories, for helping me become a man of faith. And I pray that God blesses us. Thank you.
The love of the Lord. Well, we so very much appreciate Shannon and the McGee family and what they mean to this church family and what they mean to so many. Shannon, as you can tell in the words that he is sharing with us, he is steadfast in the faith, and it comes across and not only how he talks and what he says, but in the way that he lives his life, even amidst the challenges that he faces. I'm going to invite you to join me in praying this prayer this week. It's the prayer that I'm going to pray coming from 1 Corinthians 15:58. God, make me steadfast and immovable this week for your glory. If there's anybody here today that desires the prayers of the church family, you can let us know what's going on in our hearts. We're going to have an invitation song here in just a second. You can come forward and let us know what's going on. We'd be glad to pray with you or for you. If there's anybody here today that is ready to give your life to the Messiah in baptism today, we'd love to witness you do that. So whatever need that you have, you can come forward now and as we stand and worship our God.